This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas. Dr. Richard Sun is a history professor at the University of Arkansas, specializing in modern French history and European social, cultural, and intellectual history. Growing up in Chicago and spending time at the Art Institute led Sun to find Impressionist art. Tomorrow evening on the University of Arkansas campus, Sun will lead an evening of Jewish music and art. His lecture will explore the roots and legacy of Jewish art in the 20th century. While researching a book, Dr. Sun discovered that after the Bolshevik Revolution of the 1920s, many anarchists fled to Paris. Many of them were Jewish. He began our conversation with another discovery.
I discovered that in the Left Bank artist colony of Montparnasse, which was the major art center in the 1920s, there were an extraordinary number of these immigrant Jews who'd come to Paris and to Montparnasse to become artists. In fact, there were hundreds, which seemed extraordinary to me.
And just because they had fled other areas of Europe. And
well, they had fled, or this was the period between 1880 and 1920 of huge Jewish emigration out of mostly Russia, or the Russian Empire, which included then Poland, Bielorussia, Ukraine. And so these people were not so much fleeing as looking for opportunities to become artists, and for them that meant Paris. And this huge period of Jewish emigration, in which probably 3 million Jews left Eastern Europe and came to New York, to London, mm-hmm. to Paris, especially to New York, of course,
right.
Coincided with the era that we call modernism in the arts. Just so happened, they happened to coincide with that perfectly, and most of them arrived in Paris before World War I, between 1905 and 1914. I'm speaking of the most famous of them is probably Marc Chagall, Chaim Soutine, Jacques Lipschitz, the sculptor.
Chagall, that sounds like a French name.
Well, many of them, his name was Chagall, mm-hmm. but it would have been Moishe Chagall back in Vitebsk, mm-hmm. in Western or White Russia. So he became Marc Chagall. Jules Pascin, another of these artists, had been Julius Pincus back mm-hmm. in Vidin, Bulgaria. He became Jules Pascin.
Okay, so they changed their names.
Some did. Okay. Chaim Soutine did not, but many of them did change their names. Well, one thing that was so extraordinary about this generation was that unlike, say, Jewish music, which was already legendary, and there were great Jewish composers like Felix Mendelssohn and, mm-hmm. and plenty of Jewish violinists, there wasn't much tradition of Jewish artists before this period. And suddenly there are hundreds. So it was an extraordinary phenomenon.
Chagall uses a lot of color in his pictures, and Modigliani did not have a lot of color. I mean, they were very different.
They're very different.
Very different.
Right. Modigliani and Pascin were Sephardic Jews. Pascin was from Bulgaria. Modigliani's from Livorno, Italy. And so unlike the Eastern European Jews, who are Ashkenazi Jews and are Yiddish-speaking, which was most of these immigrants, Pascin and Modigliani were the exceptions. They were Sephardic Jews who originally hailed from Spain. And so Modigliani was a very, very assimilated, but also very consciously Jewish artist. He's not thought of as being a Jewish artist, but he was. And he was proud of his Jewish ancestry. And so he arrived in Paris in 1906 and became, probably one of the most famous of these artists.
His paintings are mostly portraits of women, from what I've seen.
Yes. For a while there, around 1911 to 14 or 15, he thought of himself primarily as a sculptor and did lots of heads. And you can see the influence of his sculptures in the paintings he did subsequently, because they have a kind of sculptural look. And those long noses and long necks, that became his mm-hmm. signature in the brief period he painted from 1915 till his premature death at age 35.
I know, I saw
in
that
1920,
he was very young.
He died of tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. They look kind of like and a sculptural appearance.
Well, for me, out of all the artists that you've mentioned, he's the one that sticks out the most for some reason.
Now, Montparnasse is most famous in the 20s that's the era of Hemingway and Fitzgerald and Gertrude Stein and all these expatriates. So it was a remarkably cosmopolitan international art scene, probably the most international art scene of all time.
I would have loved
anywhere.
To have been there.
It was a fun place. Yeah. And so Americans think about Hemingway and Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. Even Woody Allen, who is quite Jewish and made that great film Midnight in Paris, I'm sure he does not know that if you had strolled along the Boulevard Montparnasse back then, you would have heard Yiddish spoken along those outdoor cafes because there were hundreds of these Yiddish-speaking Jewish artists. So I thought it was fascinating. One thing that interests me is that virtually none of them settled in the large Jewish quarters on the right bank in Paris, the area of the Marais or Bellevue, where heavily Jewish neighborhoods. They all chose to live in Montparnasse, where they could interact with other artists and become artists, not limited to being Jewish.
Right.
So it's a challenge to look at their art and see what is, if anything, is specifically Jewish about their artistic style.
And from what we've discussed, it sounds like Chagall is one of the only ones that really focuses on his Jewish heritage.
Right, that's true. Mm-hmm. In a more subtle way, however, someone like Chaim Soutine, who is probably the most expressionist artist painting in Paris, his work looks more like what's happening in Germany at the same time among the German expressionists. And so one thing that might mark Modigliani and Soutine and another number of the other artists is a kind of subjectivity, looking at the individual and portraying a strong sort of inner, bringing out the inner self, the inner person. So not just what they look like on the outside. I think part of their modernism comes from bringing out the inner quality, which I think Jewish music does too. The klezmer music has a kind of subjective, melancholy quality. And so that may be something a little subtler than just painting scenes of the old shtetl life of Eastern Europe, but I think it's there also and might be in some ways recognizably Jewish.
Well, you mentioned the klezmer music.
Yes.
So tomorrow night, it's not just a night of Jewish art, it's also a night of Jewish music. So how is music going to fit in?
Well, we decided to call this an evening of Jewish art and music. Klezmer music has had a huge revival in the last 30 years, and especially New York-based groups like the Klezmatic and the Klezmer Conservatory Band have revived this traditional Ashkenazi Eastern European musical culture. There is a group based in Tulsa, mostly of doctors who call themselves the Klezmeds. Okay. And I heard about them, and I'm bringing in a retired physician named David Hurwitz, who plays a clarinet in this group. And he will give a lecture on the origins and traditions of klezmer music and demonstrate it on his clarinet. And then I love music too, and I play the violin or perhaps the fiddle, more appropriately here. And we may join in and jam together a little bit on my fiddle and his clarinet and do some klezmer music, and we'll have a reception and maybe play some music while that reception is going on. So the klezmer music is really fun. It's a wonderful musical genre. And I think we'll go to enhance the sense of this Eastern European Ashkenazi Jewish culture that was so rich before, of course, before the Holocaust.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Sun.
My pleasure.
Dr. Richard Sun is professor of history at the University of Arkansas. He'll speak tomorrow evening at 6 in the Arkansas Student Union for an evening of Jewish music and art. This is part of the Beyond the Holocaust series. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Bentonville, Fort Smith, and Heifel. Today's programming is brought to you in part by our day sponsor, Walt Manger, who says 50 years ago yesterday, three stars fell. Buddy Holly, J.P. Richardson, also known as the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens. They are remembered because the music never died. Arkansas Women's Shelter will host Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, Saturday, March 2nd, beginning at 9 a.m. at the Bentonville High School track. This fundraising relay and march will feature all participants in high heel shoes to show support for victims of domestic violence. Registration and more information are available at walkamilenwa.com. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Christina Thomas. Kyle Kellums and Antoinette Grajeda will be back tomorrow for an all-new daily edition of Ozarks at Large. Thank you so much for listening, and happy Monday.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday morning, it was.